Good afternoon. This is a hearing before the License Commission, Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. It is 3:03 p.m. We're at 831 Mass Ave at the conference room, basement level. Just for the record, we are being audio and tape recorded today, and video recorded as well. Also, if you are an attorney, if you can fill out one of those appearance forms so we can make sure that we send the decision to the proper person, that'd be great. If you're anyone that comes to testify and or wants a copy of the decision, please also fill that out so that we know who to send it to. Thank you. Before you today are the chief, Gerard Mahoney, as well as myself, Nicole Moretti Ferrer, the chair for the License Commission. If anyone is here for the rehearing for the Royal Punjab matter, number 12 on the agenda, that has been continued to June 6th. And other than that, let's proceed with the first hearing application, TRIA Cambridge Concessions LLC, DBA Free Point Hotel, 220 Alewife Brook Parkway, holder of a common victualer all alcoholic beverage license 11569, has applied for a change of manager to Jeffrey Sellers. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Chief Andrew Upton, UPCON. For the applicant, with me is Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Sellers, S-E-L-L-E-R-S.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mr. Sellers, with the new ABCC application, I can't really tell if you've been the manager of record. I see that you have a lot of experience, but I couldn't tell whether it was as the manager of record or just basically as manager of those places.
It was manager of the place.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've never been the manager of record on a liquor license?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. If you can either come in or outside. Great, thank you. And I see you have a lot of experience at not only hotels but also restaurants. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Excuse me, you either have to come in the room, you can't stand in the doorway. Thank you.
Are you TIPS or 21 proof certified?
TIPS certified.
Are you familiar with the rules and regulations of this board, the ABCC, and the laws of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with regard to the sales service of alcohol and the running of an in-holder license?
I am, yeah.
And do you understand that we expect you to stay up to date with those rules, laws, and regulations?
I do.
Okay. Questions? Okay. I would vote to grant, and just please make sure to send us your TIP certification.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Granted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Second matter, a Season to Taste Catering, holder of a common victualer wine and malt license at 2447 Mass Ave, has applied for an alteration of premise to remove the outdoor seasonal patio. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
It's Robert Harris, R-O-B-E-R-T-H-A-R-R-I-S.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, do you have the affidavit of notice to abutters?
I don't.
Okay. So we'll need that.
Okay.
And then you're removing the patio. You added that in 2016. Why the change?
We just found that it was mostly folks who were making reservations that came in. We did the patio as a way for the neighborhood to have an option to join in. So that was the main reason why we did it. Also, the city said that in order for us to do it again this year, we were going to have to move out to next to Mass Ave. Which was problematic just because it's such a busy thoroughfare with the bus coming and stuff. So, and the sidewalk was already tight. So given that we didn't really fill it and that it was not going to be impractical with the layout, we decided not to do it this year.
Okay.
Or going forward, I should say.
All right. Any questions?
No.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would wait for you to submit that affidavit before,
sure.
But I would say pending that I would vote to grant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
great.
You.
So I'll just submit that affidavit. We're good. Thank you.
Thank
yep.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Hot Pot Boston 1 LLC, DBA Happy Lamb Hot Pot, holder of a common victual wine and malt license at 485 Mass Ave. For alleged violations of no crowd manager documentation, blocked exits, and other violations of the fire code on March 17, 2018. Hot Pot? Can you see if there's anyone in?
There
isn't anyone. Okay, so let's give it a second call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Whole Foods Market at 115 Prospect Street due to alleged violations that on March 15th. At 6:17 a.m., March 20th, 6:25, March 21st, 6:29, March 23rd, 4:46, March 26th, 5:57, March 27th, 6:24, March 29th, 6:08, and May 1st at 10:12 p.m. Merchandise was unloaded and a dumpster was loaded or unloaded in a residential zone in violation of the Cambridge Municipal Code. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Andrea Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, Chief Investigator for the City of Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you.
Seamus Monahan, Store Team Leader, S-H-A-M-U-S-M-O-N-A-H-A-N.
M-O-N-A-H-A-N. Thank you.
Tyler Bubenik, T-Y-L-E-R, B-U-B-E-N-I-K, Licensing Investigator for the Cambridge License Commission.
Thank you.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Are you here to speak on Whole Foods?
I am not. I have a similar notice for Casella Waste.
Oh, yes.
As it relates to
Whole Foods. Yes, I apologize. I mean to call also Atlantic Waste System and E.L. Harvey and Sons, because these are all interrelated matters, so if you could all, I'll lend you some chairs here, too. The board will consider each individually, but since they all have the same information, I guess it's better if we call them all together. I think so, yeah. Thank you. And sir, if you could please state your name.
Certainly. Jerry Shogren, E.L. Harvey & Sons.
Jerry, I'm sorry, how do I say your last name?
S-J-O-G-R-E-N.
S-J-O-G-R-E-N.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Jack Manning, M-A-N-N-I-N-G, with Casella Waste Services.
Okay. And anyone that's testifying, if you could please stand up and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And sir, your name?
Officer Steve Wenzel, W-E-N-Z-E-L.
Z-E-L?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so Ms. Boyer, I think you should probably start.
Thank you. This started as a noise complaint, initially from the mayor's office last summer. Just as a quick explanation of what Whole Foods is like. So there is, it's located on Prospect Street at 115 Prospect Street, and it's half residential and half business zone. The loading and unloading of the items and where the dumpsters take place is in the residential zone. Therefore, when it's plainly audible of a distance of 50 feet, loading or unloading may not take place before 7 a.m. or after 6 p.m. on weekdays, and not before 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. on Saturdays, Sundays, or holidays. Again, the first complaint arrived August 23rd, 2017 via the mayor's office. And on August 24th, I went down and spoke with the interim manager regarding the alleged noise violation, and additionally I emailed the two managers, Mr. Seamus Monahan and Ms. Erin Arnstein, informed them of the alleged violation and of the complaints and the outline of the Cambridge Municipal Code of when it could be loaded and unloading. Also, I gave them the guidelines for dumpsters and when they could be picked up in a commercial zone versus residential, and also refrigeration trucks that may be on premise. I had not heard anything for a while, and then on February 28th, the same resident who had initiated the first complaint stated that there was loading and unloading of merchandise from, and also the trash company dumpsters is still transpiring before 7 a.m. Again, I met with the manager, Mr. Seamus Monahan, and reiterated the Cambridge Municipal Code. We discussed the complexities of the zoning of the residential and the commercial, but Mr. Monahan stated that he would work on a solution to have it in place by March 24th. On March 29th, licensed investigator Tyler Bubenick inspected Whole Foods and documented truck delivery and load-in and unloading of merchandise. He'll explain also what he may have heard and heard soon. And what was loaded and unloaded and what was plainly audible at a distance of 50 feet. Additionally, Tyler state that the roll-up door did make noise and it was plainly audible. He also documented on that same day at 6:10 a.m. That Atlantic Waste Disposal Company emptied and unloaded the dumpster. On April 11th, the complainant stated that Casella Waste is still loading and unloading the dumpster before 6 a.m. and Harvey Disposal Company is still loading their dumpsters before 5 a.m. Additionally, food delivery trucks are loading items and banging of tailgates and rolling of carts are plainly audible at a distance of 50 feet. In the packet that I gave you, it does show pictures from the complainant, different dates and so forth. On May 1st, there was a CAD call at 10 p.m. of loading unloading of delivery trucks at Whole Foods. Officer Wenzel stated that he spoke to the employees about using the forklift and the noise from the backup alarm. And just like to note that emergency signaling devices are exempt from the Cambridge Municipal Code.
Okay. Why don't we go with Mr. Bubenick now and then?
Sure. When I checked out the site, it was, I want to say, March 29th. That's a weekday. I arrived on site 5:45 a.m. Around about 6 a.m., one of the delivery trucks showed up. I could hear the noise of the truck backing up. When they opened the door on the back, I could hear that. That was plainly audible at 50 feet.
The door for
the truck.
The truck.
They never opened, like, a loading dock door on the building.
Okay.
They by hand moved boxes from the inside the truck kind of to the edge and then by hand onto a hand truck, so there was no lift gate noise or anything like that. And then the truck took off about 45 minutes later, so the reverse process, you know, pulling the door back down to close the truck and then the engine noise pulling away. Additionally, a little after 6 a.m., there was trash pickup. It was a front-loading truck, and I could hear the hydraulics from the fork on the front.
Okay, so in terms of the delivery, the only thing you could hear, because the backup alarm is exempted, so that doesn't matter, is the rolling of the door.
Yes, okay. And initially...
And that was plainly audible at a distance of 50 feet.
Yes, correct.
And then when the... Do you remember which waste company was?
I'd have to check my notes, but I'm about 90% sure it was Atlantic.
Okay. And then, okay. And was it Harvey and Sons, what you observed in terms of the delivery or no?
I didn't see what the delivery truck was, no.
Okay. Officer Wenzel?
So we responded, I've got the date on it, around 10:30 p.m. We got a call for a noise complaint for an alarm sounding, like a backup alarm sounding. By the time we got on scene, there was a tractor trailer truck. There was a lot of pallets spread out across the parking lot, and it looked like they were parking a forklift when we got there. So I spoke with the employees and asked them what they were doing. They just said that the truck didn't have a ramp to get the pallets off the truck, so they used the forklift to do that. And they were going to load the rest of the product into the store by hand. After that, we left the scene after they said that they weren't going to be using the forklift anymore.
Okay. I'm sorry, Ms. Where are you?
It was actually a disposal company,
not a delivery.
Okay. So the officer's report to CAD is May 1st, 2018, dispatched at 2200 hours, arrived on scene 2201, cleared at 2211.
The resident is here as well.
Oh, is the resident here?
Yes.
Sir, are you the resident?
Yeah.
If you can please come up. You going to be testifying?
Sure.
If you could please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. You can take a seat. If you can please tell us your name and spell it for the record.
Sure. David Bartsch. B-A-R-T-S-C-H.
And which observations have you made?
Probably all of them.
And can you tell us about the observations that you've made?
Those are observations in addition to your observations over 2 years, pretty much every morning, waking this up. So it's been an ongoing thing, and we finally decided to start talking about it.
Mr. Monahan?
Sure. You know, I understand the you know, the laws in Cambridge and stuff like that, and you know, our goal is to be good partners in the community. And I've spoken to David on a couple occasions now, once or twice maybe, about, you know, the trucks coming in, and we've made some adjustments to our schedules. It's very difficult for us to receive and take 8 to 10 pallets a day, plus trash trucks and stuff like that, to, you know, better serve the community. You know, we want to have the store in good shape and work with everybody in the neighborhood. On a couple of these occasions, you know, our business has massively increased since the Star Market down the road is closed. And, you know, the big thing for our drivers, and we've had discussions with everybody in Harvey as well, is that it's just very difficult to get in and out of Cambridge. We cause a tremendous amount of traffic on Prospect Street. We have, you know, 3 18-wheelers in the parking lot every day. You know, we're just looking to try to find solutions. We started an overnight delivery, so we're doing night stocking and stuff like that now to take some of the pressure off so we can get additional trucks in there and stuff too. So, you know, I think the big thing for us, like I said, is just trying to figure out a good solution where we can get, we do a ton of composting, I've done a ton of trash and stuff like that. We just need to try to figure out a better way to kind of get everything flowing back there and stuff right now, so.
In terms of the food delivery though, I mean, have you, I understand that you've spoken, but what are the schedules that you've given? I mean, you
seven,
can
7 o'clock.
Certainly control that.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have anybody in the building receiving until 7 o'clock. just for the fact of the matter that nobody can really process anything. You know, you need to take it, have invoices and things like that. Drivers can't just drop stuff off. They have to go through a process and stuff. So, you know, I think our one of the larger scale deliveries, the United one that we just started to do overnight, he was using a lift gate. So we thought that was appropriate for the time being and stuff, so, because we weren't using a forklift that was creating all that noise and stuff, so.
So, for clarification, is the overnight delivery in this neighborhood allowed?
Well, that's the residential zone. No, they can do in the, you cannot do any sort of delivery, loading or unloading, first of all, not just deliveries, in the residential area after 10 p.m. or before 7 a.m. in any time. You cannot do that, in whether it's commercial or residential, if it's plainly audible at a distance of 50 feet.
So you just said they've gone to overnight deliveries.
Yep, so our window is between 7 and 9 p.m., so they don't get, you know, they come into the lot usually about 7:15, and they're done unloading by 8.
What are the customer hours of the store?
We open at 7 a.m. and we close at 10:30 p.m. So we're on the back end of our business there and stuff. We don't have a lot of cars in the lot. Creates less traffic and better customer flow.
Are you satisfied that since these particular incidents that things have things improved, stayed the same, gotten worse?
I would say since the notification of this hearing that things have improved. I would say that, yes, plain and simply they have improved. I would say that truckers do come in the morning between 6 and 7, sometimes 5:30, and they unload. Not with a forklift, but they do unload and they leave the pallets there, and they probably hang out and wait for the Whole Foods employees to come in. And I would also say that we shop at this and other Whole Foods all the time. We have nothing to say against Whole Foods. Mm-hmm. It's just we'd like them to obey the law for noise.
And in terms, I'm sorry, I think I'm, who's with Casella?
I am Jack Manning.
And Mr. Manning, do you have anything in terms of a response as to the March 21st incident, or the March 26th, or the March 29th incident?
Well, no, other than that I'm familiar with the ordinance and was not aware that this was a residential area, but have subsequently made adjustments to our routing to try and accommodate the request, so that we're not here prior to 7.
And you, sir, you're with Harvey and Sons?
Yes.
We try to get into areas that we have access to as a matter of public safety. During the day, with congestion and pedestrians, we try to minimize the truck traffic. So we look at areas where we do have access. Our dispatchers believe that was a commercial zone. That's why we were doing that. We have since spoken to the dispatchers, and I just, to be quite honest, we just received this letter about a week or so ago. So, but we have notified our dispatchers.
So for both of you gentlemen, so am I to understand that neither of you were aware that this was, that where the dumpster was residential?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Not until received this notice.
I actually looked at the map when I got the notice, and it's, I mean, it's right on the cut. So it's,
and it is difficult to balance both out, you know, to collect the trash, get it off the street. From a, you know, a safety perspective, especially in this area of Cambridge, as the representative from Whole Foods said, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, so trying to be cognizant of those circumstances and service the accounts appropriately is a challenge. It's one that we've been doing for several years. Again, not until we received this did we understand that this was a residentially zoned area.
Anything else? Anyone else?
I will say that the trash pickup has been better lately.
Questions? So I would suggest that for all three, I would find a violation. In terms of both waste companies, I would issue a $300 fine to be kept in abeyance for a year, considering the information that they provided us.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
And then in terms of Whole Foods, I would actually impose the fine.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, because I think the store knew they were in a residential district. The waste companies did not. So I would concur with that.
Now, would we do one fine of $300?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So violation is to all three, Whole Foods, a fine of $300. Atlantic Waste System, fine of $300 to be kept in abeyance for a year. If no other violations, the fine does not have to be paid. Harvey and Sons, a violation, $300 fine, kept in abeyance for a year. If no other violations, it doesn't have to be paid. Thank you.
Will you send confirmation on that?
We will be sending, yes.
This
we will,
is the correct address.
Oh, thank you.
Company.
We will be sending statement of reasons.
Thank you.
With all of everything. Thank you. Next matter is Pemberton Fruit Orchard, Inc., holder of an all-alcoholic beverage license and common victor license at 225 Mass Ave, has applied for a change of hours to close at 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 9 p.m. on Sunday. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Chief Mahoney, my name is James Rafferty. I'm an attorney with offices at 675 Massachusetts Avenue. I'm appearing this afternoon on behalf of the licensee, Pemberton Fruit Orchard, Inc. To my right is the president of the corporation, Thomas Sednaway.
Thank you. And is it S-A-I-D-N-A-W-E-Y?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, you currently have, so this is just for closing hours. Right now, you close at 11 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And you close at 10 p.m. on Sunday. So are you rolling back an hour?
No, we believe we close at 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
We're looking to extend to close
at 11 p.m. Sorry. Here we go. Okay.
And similarly, there's a request to increase the Sunday 8 p.m. closing to 9 p.m.
Okay, and is this on the CV portion or the liquor portion or both?
Both.
Okay, because this is where my confusion arose. Your 2017 renewal, you have 11 p.m. closing hour, Monday through Saturday.
But that is not, when do you commit? You currently operate only until 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And I think that was because in November of 2016, there was a request to change the hours to 10 p.m. and 8 p.m. So you had what you wanted, and then you went down to 10 p.m. and 8 p.m., and now you're asking again for what you had.
No. We had 10 p.m.
We always close
it. It was 10 p.m., but the earlier request didn't involve 11 p.m., did it? You're saying there was a request last year?
No, I'm saying that at the renewal stage of 2017, so when you renewed in November of 2016, your hours of operation were 11 p.m. closing hour.
Okay, so.
And 10 p.m. closing hour on Sunday. Then, that same month, about a week after your renewal application, you submitted a request to change, and then the hours changed. And I think the staff took it as the CV, but anyway, neither here nor there.
It sounds like there may have been an error in completing the renewal affidavit, because our license, at least the package store license, has always been 10 p.m. And
okay.
So the principal focus, as you know, what's behind this is that the grocery store is going to, because of public demand, is intending to stay open an hour later. And the license change will allow for liquor sales to occur during that additional hour, as opposed to Sunday mornings where they don't, like most grocery stores that carry alcohol, they have to separate out the mm-hmm. alcohol section. So the request is to not have to do that for the additional hour. And it is totally related to the demand. People are shopping later. The customers are requesting it. There's a recent, frankly, a food retailer in Davis Square that is opening later, and his customers, the Sedinaway family has operated Pemberton Farm since 1930 in North Cambridge. It's a locally owned business. It's not a chain. They're very focused and engaged with the customers in terms of their needs, and they have a strong neighborhood walk-in clientele. So it's totally based on customer need, public need, and the apologize for the confusion. I know it's always the case too when there are two licenses. So
yep.
The CV license would run consistent with the hours of operation, and the hours of operation of both the package store component and the full grocery store.
Okay. Now, the application that you submitted, it looks like you want to open the food portion at 7 a.m.
That's what we currently do, yes.
And that's what you want to keep doing?
Correct.
Yep. And then the alcohol, 8 a.m. weekdays?
Correct.
Through Saturday. And then Sunday, 10 a.m. on the alcohol. Still 7 a.m. on the food?
Correct.
Okay. And then closing time, Monday through Saturday, everything 11 p.m.?
Correct.
And then Sunday, everything 9 p.m.?
Yes.
Or 9 p.m.?
Everything 9 p.m.
Yes.
Sunday 9 p.m.?
Yeah, that's fine.
Are you sure? I'm just asking because it looks like we had a mumbo jumbo here, so I just want to make sure.
Right. No. And so the question is, well, should we? And I know what the answer to this question is: that you should have the hours under which you are going to be open. So if you have no present intention to be open past 9 p.m. on Sundays, then I think you should state that, and the license should reflect that.
Okay. And Counselor, did you bring the affidavit of notice to abutters?
I wasn't told by my office that for an extension of hours, we did send out notice, but we were not required to do the affidavit.
You're not required to give us the green cards, but the affidavit we do need.
So, and did we not submit that?
I don't have it.
Okay, well, I can...
No, not here.
Okay, so I apologize and I will get that back to you this afternoon. But that's the distinction. So we weren't required to do the green cards, but because I questioned this before I came here today as well, and I was told that for change of hours, but change of hours means the return receipt isn't required, but the affidavit is required, I'm sure. I know the person who can prepare and sign the affidavit and get it back here before 5.
Sounds good. Any questions? Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would vote to grant pending the submission of the affidavit.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then just procedurally, if the affidavit were filed, is a matter of coming to just call the office tomorrow and arrange to get the new paperwork?
So since we are fully electronic, once it is submitted, it would be your license would be reissued, and you just get an email, and you can just print it off.
Okay.
So his terms of weekend operations, can he...
If we have the affidavit,
Okay, fine. Thank you. Just wanted to... Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Okay, next one. ARE-MA Region Number 50 LLC has applied for a new garage with flammables license at 150 2nd Street for 94 parking spaces, 940 gallons of gasoline in the tanks of vehicles, 790 gallons of Class 1, and 720 gallons of Class 2 diesel.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Sure. Laura Graziano, L-A-U-R-A, last name G-R-A-Z-I-A-N-O.
Thank you. The spaces I have here, that 22 are for residents and 72 for tenants. Is that the case? Because then I have another sheet that says that they're all for tenants.
They're all for tenants, not for residents.
And do you charge for those parking spaces?
We do not. No. It's not a public garage.
Do you charge the tenants?
Oh, yes, we charge the tenants. I'm sorry. Okay. Yes.
And then the diesel, do you know what it is for?
It's for an emergency generator located on the roof.
Where is it kept?
The generator itself is on the roof, and the fuel storage is in the garage, in the fuel storage room.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay, I would want to grant.
Okay. Do you need these from me?
Thank you. Yes, okay. Thank you.
And just want, in terms of the application, would that, the signatures are, I was told, would be scanned over to me and then they'll be put online in the portal?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. All right. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you. Keep that one. Okay, next one is Uno Restaurants LLC, holder of a common victor all alcohol license 11698, linked to 22 JFK Street for non-use pursuant to General Law Chapter 138, Section 77.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
George Herz, H-E-R-Z, Senior Vice President, General Counsel for the company.
Thank you. Mr. Herz, last time you were here, you informed us that there was a dispute with the landlord and that it may result in Uno's reopening at the location or... Something else?
No. The first half is correct. There was a dispute with the landlord still over the lease itself, and that the reopening of the restaurant, or I should say the space, if a part of the resolution may involve another restaurant opening. And in that case, the license itself would be, I suggest, part maybe of that resolution, because that license is only for that particular space.
Okay. And where are we at this point?
There is still no movement on that. It's unresolved. And so to that end, I would request an additional continuation, in as much as I don't think the commission is prejudiced, in as much as that you're holding the license and, you know, you paid the fee associated with that.
How long ago did UNO cease operations at that location?
That was around August of 2016. That's my recollection.
Mm-hmm. I think the first cancellation hearing we had on this was in June 2017, and we had scheduled this hearing before, but due to them not receiving notice, we had to reschedule it to today. So this would be like our second cancellation hearing for non-use on this particular license. And what exactly is the dispute, if you can inform the board?
It's a dispute over the terms of the, I guess, lease itself, between the landlord and the tenant, who is UNO's.
I guess my question, why did UNO's close? Did the lease lapse and that's the...
No. The lease still has a term. The lease was terminated by the landlord, but the lease, the resolution of the, you know, it was a action that occurred. There was a summary judgment that was granted in our favor. There's no further action that was taken by the landlord, but the underlying dispute still exists.
So the case is still open in Superior Court? No. Summary judgment was granted to UNO?
And it wasn't in Superior Court.
Sorry.
But it was in connection with the summary possession proceeding that was filed. And there's been no further action by the landlord on that case. But as I said, the underlying dispute with the lease still exists.
Can you submit a copy of that decision to us?
I can. Okay. I will.
So I would defer any action on this until we get that and take a look at what's going on. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Coffee Shop LLC, DBA Upper West, holder of a general on-premise all-alcohol license and common victor license at 1 Cedar Street, Unit B, has applied for an alteration of premise to add an outdoor patio and private property. Proposed premise description, approximately 1,140 square feet, basement level and two rooms, including kitchen, 900 square foot outdoor patio on private property. Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Xavier Dietrich, XAVIERDIETRICH.
Thank you.
Kim Courtney, CourtneyY.
Thank you. And do you guys have the affidavit and as well the lease?
Yes.
Courtney or Mr. Dietrich, why don't you tell us the need for the outdoor area?
Well, we have a well-established restaurant with well-established customers who are requesting additional use of the outdoor space. We've been using the outdoor space for a couple of years, somewhat inconsistently, and we'd like to use it somewhat more consistently.
So we have
We have about 300 letters of support.
We have 335 petitioners in favor, as well as around 300 letters to the commission. Oh, I have two copies.
Thank you.
We're not looking to change anything about the prior use that we've had. It's just the same location and same type of use that we've had previously.
And would you, so I went to the area to take a look at the back, so it's in the back in the parking lot. Are
right.
you taking over that entire space, or how is it?
No, it's just near the small area near the building. There's parking spaces, so it's not where the parking spaces are. It's the area next to the building where there's no parking.
So if I go into the parking lot where it says Upper West, it's sort of to the left of there?
The back line of the building itself,
mm-hmm.
along the building.
Okay.
Along the back of the building.
So the
same place as we've had the prior one-day licenses, the exact same location.
Except I haven't visited you when you've had the one-day licenses, which is why I'm trying to visualize it. So it's where I went and I saw the parking lot, but you're saying it's... So it's against the wall, and it's in that area where I sort of saw a barbecue, so like behind that.
From the corner of the building,
mm-hmm.
against the wall,
mm-hmm.
towards the fence.
Okay. Anyone from the UAV post here?
Yes.
Sir, would you like to be heard?
Yes, please.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
My name is Paul Corrigo, Corrigau.
Okay.
And the commander's also here with me.
Does he want to come up? Please state and spell your name for the record.
Joseph Boulanger, Boulanger.
Thank you. All right. And your thoughts?
I'm representing UAV, United American Veterans Post 30.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have permission to use that kind of space they're asking for. And it's not in their lease to use that much property. They have permission to use from the door entry to the corner of the building, approximately 8 feet out, which is approximately 160 square feet. They're asking for 900. That's half a lot.
It's not correct. They made a mistake, of course.
Okay. So from 900 to 160, that's a lot of space.
That's not what we asked for.
What's in your notes?
I know they made a mistake. They make lots of mistakes.
Mr. Boulanger?
Might be a mistake in the hearing notice. 900 square feet, it's 3/4 of the parking lot. So that definitely would be...
That would cover our handicapped parking that we have against the fence to the right of the exit door.
Madam Chair, just so to not waste your time, we're not asking for 900 square feet, as you know. So if that was somehow a mistake that was published in the newspaper,
so
that was not requested by us.
The application, the updated... floor plan that you sent us, Ms. Courtney, says private outdoor area 250 square feet approximately.
Right, which is consistent with what he just said we had permission to do.
It's 160.
I said approximately, so yeah, it's about 8 feet out.
Has anybody from the post
marked out or indicated either to them or you know, like mistakes or anything? What is acceptable for?
We've been using it for 2 years, so.
I was just notified of this. I've been away. My wife had medical problems, whatever. That's beside the point. And I just got back, and I just was handed this note, and that's why I'm here to try to figure out. We were not even asked about this. This is the first I've heard of it. They've not contacted us.
It's in the lease, so, yeah. We don't
You're allowed to use 8 feet out and 20 feet wide.
Actually, not exactly.
It's where no parking exists as long as it doesn't interfere with the club function.
So,
and to get what they want is definitely going to interfere with the function of the club.
I've already stated it's not 900 square feet. Put that in there so you guys would come.
Yeah.
Can we just stipulate for the record that we're not asking for 900 square feet so they can stop discussing that?
Yes, I think you've made it clear that you're not asking for 900 square feet. I think
correct.
Your floor plan says 250 square feet, and I think they're saying you have 8 feet out and 20 feet wide,
correct.
Which would not add to 250.
So,
I'm just going based on what our regular usage has been and what they've given us permission to do. So, I'm not here to have a debate with our landlord. They signed the lease. They agreed to allow us to use the space. And this is not the forum to discuss that.
Well, it is in terms that we can't approve a liquor license in an area where your landlord is not providing you access to.
Right, but the landlord doesn't have a say at this moment. The landlord had the say when they signed the lease, and that's it. So they don't have a say at this point.
So seeing how we just got this lease today,
right.
I would defer taking action so we can actually read through these documents.
Well, there's only one term that's relevant to this hearing, and you can see it, you know,
the lease
right
is
there.
Pretty long, Ms. Courtney, I would take.
There's only, like, 3 words that are relevant to this hearing. And if you delay this further than the office has already delayed this, obviously it's going to hurt our customers who aren't going to be able to use our outdoor space. I would ask that you just make a decision today.
So this lease has several cross outs and redactions and so forth. It's initialed by looks like 1, 2, 3 looks like 5 sets of initials at the bottom. There's a KC and an X. Is it XJD? Is that your middle initial?
Yes.
Okay. So then there are others. Are they either of you two gentlemen?
JJB is, that's
okay.
Him, and I'm PLC,
okay.
Quartermaster, and then we have Craig Murphy, which is the assistant quartermaster.
Well, I think there's obviously a dispute between what the landlord says can be used and what the tenant is asking for authorization to use, so I think I would concur with you that we got to defer this until you go through it.
May I
find
discuss
out.
This matter? We're at a hearing, so I'd like to discuss.
Yes, ma'am.
So all that's relevant is that the lease gives us permission to use the space. It's irrelevant if the landlord has anything to say about it. They agreed to the lease, they agreed to the terms. Again, we're not looking for 900 square feet. We're looking for exactly what we've been using for the past 2 years on a regular basis through the permits that have been granted through this commission. So it's consistent with the prior use. You've granted it many times. It's straightforward.
A question to either of you gentlemen, or to you two. Was there ever a floor plan or a lot plan or a plot plan with the lease?
No. The agreement was that where there was no parking near the building, and we've been using it consistently in the same manner for 2 years, and
okay.
There's been no issues.
And do you agree that, because it says here, and use of outdoor of parking lot near building where no parking exists.
Right.
Do you agree that that is the area where Mr. Corvo said was the 8 feet out and 20 feet wide?
I don't have, I'm not there right now to measure it. It sounds approximate, but the drawing that I gave you is my understanding of what the lease agreement states. Again, it's irrelevant if they're trying to change it and make it smaller.
Yep.
If they want to try to change it and make it smaller, they have to renegotiate the lease.
Would you?
I'm sorry.
And again, his interpretation of our floor plan is irrelevant. So.
He has the right to look at it, Ms.
Yeah,
Courtney.
But all that matters is what the lease states. It doesn't matter what he has to say about it.
Well, Mr. Corvio looks at that. Anyone in favor of this petition? Yes, sir. If you could please state your name.
Check report.
Yep.
Hi. My name is James Danila, D-A-N-I-L-A.
D-A-N?
I-L-A.
Thank you.
I'm a resident of 18 Gilmore Ave. I'm here to speak in favor of the petition. I've been a resident of North Cambridge for a number of years, and what I can say is Upper West is a truly unique space. My wife and I very much enjoy going there, meeting and talking with all of our neighbors, and couple and the few pop-up outdoor events that they've had. We've been there with our young son. It's truly something that you can experience and elsewhere in the neighborhood, and we are very much in favor of this.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Anyone in opposition to this petition? Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay. Paul Corriveau and Joseph Belanger.
Okay. And one remark on this that they're asking for.
Yes.
This is the rear of the building. The entry to the rear of the building is right here. They have permission to use this to here.
Of course, we won't be blocking the entrance.
Because there is a... handicap parking spots right there, which they've been trying to
not in the take. Area there, but we will obviously not block any entrances. We're well aware of that. We have to use them as our entrance. So.
Thank you. So based on the information provided to us, I would defer until June 6th. I would suggest that we set up a meeting with our investigator, the applicants, and the UAV so that it's clear it seems like it's just a matter of communication here and that everyone's talking about the same space, but we want to make sure clear, specifically because we're talking about almost a difference of 100 square feet between what was represented to the board today. So I would defer to June 6th with a follow-up with the applicant. Okay, matter deferred.
Thank you.
Do you want a copy of, because you gave us two copies.
That's
that
fine. We can keep it. I was going to put that in there so that for that purpose. See, that's what happened.
Next matter, Jennifer Capello Silva has applied for a new Cambridge Hackney driver's license.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Could you please state and spell your names for the record?
Jennifer Capello Silva, S-I-L-V-A.
And Ms. Silva, I think you were here last meeting for the dispatch service, yes?
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, you are looking for a license so that you can drive and or own a medallion?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. You have an excellent record, I might say. I did, I think Officer Zito already contacted you guys, if you can give us a blurb of what your dispatch service will do so that we can actually send it to all of our taxis, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, do you have any questions?
No.
And you've never been a driver or anything,
no.
Correct? But you spoke to Officer Zito after the last meeting, correct?
Yeah, he has been.
Anyone in favor of this petition? Yes, sir.
Okay.
If you can please state your name.
Joseph Silva, S-A-L-V-A.
Okay.
I'm in favor.
Thank you. Anyone in opposition to this petition? Okay. I would vote to grant.
Okay.
Granted. Thank you. If you can, we'll call you probably tomorrow because
yes.
I think the people that issue the licenses are not
here. Yeah.
Well, no, I think. You might. You can try. Here. you go. Thank just you go so upstairs and someone will help you.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The rehearing for Punjab was continued to June 6th. And now we are going to administrative matters. This was a matter that we deferred on April 25th for City Liquor's license to transfer the package store license from 12 Museum Way to 212 Hampshire Street. We received another letter from the Cambridge Chamber of Commerce on behalf of this petition, and we also received an affidavit because some of the letters that were provided to us suggested that maybe this was going to be a chain operation. Application is clearly just Surya Vinayak Inc. The corporate paperwork shows that Vinosh Pradhan is the only owner and principal and everything else in this corporation, but he has also submitted an affidavit basically stating as much.
Mm-hmm.
With everything that was presented to us and after looking at all of the stuff, also considering that we have received We had already been informed that the Riles, holder of the license of Riles was going to turn it in. When the second half payment request went out, he also confirmed that he wasn't going to pay the license as he's turning it in at
mm-hmm.
the end of June. With that said, I would vote to approve this
mm-hmm.
application, and I would just send a note to the ABCC letting them know that there's currently a license, but that's going to be out.
I will concur.
Okay. Granted.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
The next matter, and I'll call them together, were the Dumpling Daughter investor applications for licenses. At 73 Ames Street. I actually went to this space today. I can see how they're going to do it, but I think, and you know, based on what we heard, I think we should grant both of these licenses. I just think we have to put very specific conditions on both of them, making sure that even though they're going
to... You're going to walk through one space to access the restrooms of another space?
Yeah,
like
so the Vester customers have to go through sort of... They're going to put up sort of a... sort of imaginary barrier type of thing,
yep.
almost like a, I highly doubt that the fire
okay.
department will approve a curtain, but something like that. And people will cross over to use the bathroom. And then, but I think we have to put a very specific condition on Dumpling Daughter that the mezzanine level is only for them
mm-hmm.
and cannot be used by Vester, and that there can be no commingling of the alcohol or obviously the funds, and that
okay.
the alcohol has to be kept on each side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So granted with those conditions as to both. Investor, we just have to make sure that also that we put the seats at 40, which is what ISD capped it at based on zoning issues. Next one, Steve Layton on behalf of John Moriety Associates, special noise variance at 415 Mass Ave, March 26th, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., June 2nd or June 9th from 6 to 7 for concrete placement. Vote to grant. Kyle Clayson of Halmore Corp. for a special noise variance at 399 Binney on June 2nd, 9, 16, 23rd from 7 to 9 for hoisting and crane setup. Rancid. Charlie Moore on behalf of Turner Construction for a noise variance at 145 Broadway June 1st from 8 p.m. to 11:59 p.m., June 2nd from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m., and 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., and June 3rd, 7 to 9 for the, I don't know how to say that.
Demobilization of a tower crane.
Thank you.
Take it down.
I would vote to grant, and also with the condition that they need to get a Sunday work permit.
Mm-hmm.
Application Brad Bigiani on behalf of J.G. Lorenzo Corp. for a special noise variance at First Street on May 24th into May 25th from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. for water main relocation. Granted. Moisela LLC has applied for a new hawker peddler license Thursday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 150 Cambridge Park Drive. They actually submitted a one-day recently that we granted, and this is their annual application. Everything seems to be all set. I would vote to grant, but pending payment of the one-day, which they failed to pay, so the $10 license fee, plus the annual fee. The next matter is Delicious Foods LLC, DBA Kebab Bish, applied for our new hawker peddler license from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Cambridge Port. And everything seems to be all set here, so I would vote to grant. Patrick Lee on behalf of Harvard Square Business Association. This is one that we had already approved, but because of the rain date, they're asking for a change of date to June 2nd, so I would vote to grant. Also, this is a change of date to one that we had already approved for a special variance at 1 Broadway. Because of the rain last week, and they want to switch it to May 26th and Sunday, May 27th, 6 a.m. to 9. Okay. I would say granted, and then Sunday work permit.
Okay.
Then we have a request from La Fabrica Central LLC from the attorney requesting to change the date of the license suspension from June 1st to June 22nd. This was because of events that they had already scheduled and rented out to, so I would vote to grant.
Mm-hmm.
Granted. Moving on to one-day applications. Kaylee Fitzgerald has applied for a one-day malt and wine license on May 24th, 11:30 to 4 p.m. Granted. They also applied, and also for one for that same day, but at a different hours for the spring luncheon. So I would vote to grant all, and then she has a bunch of entertainment, which I'm just going to read off before I give you all these applications. May 24th, May 25th at the theater, May 25th at the dining house, May 25th at the Annenberg Dining Hall, also Science Center Plaza, and then on the 26th at the Elliott Dining, Science Center Plaza, Old Yard, Radcliffe Quad, Tercentenary Theater, Radcliffe Quad, and Dunster Street House, Winthrop House, and Annenberg Dining Hall. I would vote to grant this to all. Thank you. Kathy Wilson for Energy Healing Symposium has applied for a vendor's license for May 25th at 1815 Mass Ave, and May 26th and May 27th. Granted as to all. Jennifer Smith applied for an entertainment license to be exercised at 48 Mass Ave on May 27th, June 3rd, from 3 to 6. Granted. Molly Kenice has applied for an entertainment license at the Hyatt Regency at 575 on June 7th from 5:30 to 9:30. Granted. Molly Kane's applied for a malt and wine at 500 Main on June 9th from 5:30 to 9. Granted. Jogesh Gajar applied for... Jogesh Jagar has applied for an entertainment license at 1915 Mass Ave on June 3rd from 11:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Granted. Nicola Williams is also for malt and wine at the Lansdowne Quad on June 16th, 2:30 to 5:30, and then 5:30 to 9:30. With a rain date of June 17, granted.
Why the break? Why the break? It's not really a break. It's 2:30 to 5:30 and 5:30 to 9:30. I don't.
They have the setup, and then they're gonna break it down. They have two sessions, so the people they're doing it in two sessions, so people can go from 2:30 to 5:30. Then those 150 people leave, and then at 5:30, a new 150 people leave.
So, is there anything with respect to number of drinks, et cetera, et cetera?
No, because they're actually selling them.
Why is it $65?
Oh, yeah. So, I thought they were selling them. Yeah, so this would have, we would have to limit the number of drinks associated with the admission charge.
One alcohol must be sold, right?
Yeah. Three?
Yeah.
Three for Erica Gauthier at Novartis on 531, 64, and 67. Granted as to all. Edward O'Connor, this is for the Cambridge 5K on June 3rd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. for a road race. I would vote to grant with a limited number of alcoholic drinks, three?
Yep.
Associated with the admission charge, otherwise and thereafter alcohol to be sold, and police detail required. Calvin McLean for a vendor's license at Central Square Flea Market, granted. Julie Barr on behalf of the Cambridge Arts Council. For the Waterfront Charles River Reservation Arts Festival on June 2nd, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Granted, with police detail required, and I would waive the fee since it's a city department.
Okay.
Catherine Graffam, she applied for an all-alcohol license. They're a 501c3, so they can do that on May 31st from 6 to 11. I would vote to grant with a limited number of drinks, three, associated with the admission charge, otherwise or thereafter alcohol must be sold. then we have Alex Genderovic. I don't know how to say that.
Genderovsky.
Thank you. Has applied for a one-day amusement for a bouncy house on May 26th from 10 to 6. Granted.
No alcohol.
No alcohol, no. Lori Manzelli, for an alcohol license at the Cambridge Baptist Church on June 16. I would vote to grant, but alcohol must be... Oh, event open to the public? No. Yeah, so since it's a closed event, they can do it. So I would vote to grant as requested. Cindy Laney for a malt and wine, actually just a wine license at the Cambridge Boat Club on June 10th. Granted, police detail required. It's also closed to the public. Brownwen Gulkis has applied for a malt and wine license at the Masonic Hall on November 3rd. Talk about being on time for a wedding. Granted.
November 3rd?
Yeah. Celestine Jia Hui Hong has applied for an entertainment license on May 26th at MIT Auditorium. Granted. Jonathan Aguilar has applied for an entertainment license at the Masonic Hall on June 9th. Granted. Amy Poftak has applied for a malt and wine license at Work Bar on June 7th from 6 to 8. I would say alcohol must be sold. Eric Sioras, on behalf of St. Constantine and Helen Greek Orthodox Church, has applied for a malt and wine with entertainment on June 15 and June 16 and June 17. I would vote to grant with a police detail required. Molly Keynes on behalf of MIT, also for a malt and wine in two separate rooms.
Is this not fees owed still on this?
No, I think that's for the stuff that they need to, that's what the total fee would be for the license. We don't charge them until we issue the license in case the board denies it. Molly Keynes on June 7th, two separate times because it's in two separate, no, same time, two separate rooms for a malt and wine license granted with police detail required. And she has two more, one on June 9th, 5:30 to 7, and then June 9th, 12 to 6:30, granted as to all with police detail required. Dora has applied for a malt and wine license at the Garment District on May 31st. Granted. And Michael Monestine on behalf of the Central Square Business Association for the Hawker Peddlers for every Sunday from May 6th to October 28th, and they are submitting a list every week. Granted. Now we're going on to the late additions. These were given to us after posting, and they need to be taken care of before June 6th. Benjamin Trusiak, he has a food truck with us, a licensed food truck, and he will be serving on May 31st at MIT. Granted. Joseph Balon has applied for two malt and wine licenses at MIT for May 30th. Granted with police detail required. The next one is Eric Grady. He's looking for a malt.
CSW 2018.
I'm sorry?
What is CSW 2018? Compound Semiconductor Week.
Eric Grady. Oh, no. I'm sorry, which one was that one?
CSW Joseph Balon, 77
Oh, okay.
Out on May 30th, 5 to 7.
That one was granted with space detail required.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm at Eric Grady. For a malt with entertainment license at North Point Park on June 3rd. So I would vote to grant, pending the submission of the DCR permit and the police detail required. Janelle McDonald has applied for a malt and wine license at Harvard University on June 2nd. Granted police detail required. Nicholas Gilbert, on behalf of Santa Maria Nursing Facility, has applied for a wine license for June 5th from 6 to 7. I would grant, and the alcohol must be sold. And then Coffee Shop LLC DBA Upper West, actually Xavier Dietrich, has applied for one-day alcohol licenses at 1 Cedar Street. Because they have a pending application, we'd have to deny this under 138 Section 14. Last thing we have is the minutes of May 9th. I would vote to approve.
Read.
And that is it. That's not true. We have a second call for Hot Pot Boston 1 LLC. It is
420
and a no-show. Ms. Boyer, were you present that day for the hot pot?
I was.
Okay, so you're still under oath. Why don't you tell us what happened that day, please?
So during a task force inspection that took place on March 17, 2018, we had entered the establishment with task force team. The other participants was Deputy Chief Peter Donovan and ISD Inspector Brandon Vigneault. The room layout is when you come in, there's the first entrance, there's the host stand, and then there's one large main room for the scene. Of course, the kitchen is back. During my inspection, I noticed that the entrance to the host stand was blocked by patrons waiting to be seated to dine. The establishment's maximum allowable capacity is 134, and they did not have a person certified to be the crowd manager. They were not over capacity that night, just too many people standing at the host stand.
Did they know about the crowd management? Were they aware at all? Because you know how sometimes you guys go into establishments mm-hmm. and they have certifications or they have some paperwork, mm-hmm. but it's not completed, anything like that in this case?
According to the deputy chief, they did not have anyone even trained. We're not aware of
it. And crowd manager has been in effect how long?
A while, over almost 10 years, I think.
Okay, so, and what is the history with this stuff?
So they have been in operation since October 2016.
In addition to the my inspection, ISD and fire deputy chief had noted that the egress had been blocked as well, the one in the back.
Do you know with what it was blocked?
I think it's part of the packet there. But Brendan did have to go upstairs because of the inspections for the permits for the end of the afternoon. I can get him again if you'd like to bring his suit.
It was blocked by patrons waiting to be seated to dine. Mm-hmm. Patrons, yeah.
And then I think ISD noted that there was a blocked egress in the back.
Do you know if there was a follow-up
by either ISD or fire.
When we're on premise with task force, if something's blocking any sort of entrance, we have them remove everything at that time while we're on site.
And this was what, March 17th?
Yeah.
Has task force returned there since?
No, we have not.
It also says that the rear exits were blocked with trash and carts, front door crowded and unable to pass through to patrons, rear exit cleared while on scene. And the ENSIL system was out of date.
And that's also a violation of the zoning code, building zone.
Yeah.
Along with the fire.
So I would say that I would vote a violation. I would issue at least a 1-day suspension, probably 2, one for the violations and one for not showing up. But I would like to confirm that they received notice of the hearing.
I would concur with that.
Okay, so I will put this back on June 6th and we'll follow up as to whether or not they received notice.
And can, or is it just an internal administrative matter to recommend the task force return? Or?
Yeah. I can definitely make that recommendation. Okay. All right. And with that, then that will end. Thank you.